The biggest thing is the lead up to the events that transpired on December 15th. When I think about what was going on at the time, you know, we have to remember that the cabinet was dismissed in July, the entire cabinet. And for anybody who studies politics or is involved in diplomacy, that's generally going to be the sign of some discontent. So we were watching the signs about what was happening. And then I believe it was towards November or something a little later, the president dissolved most of the organs of the SPLM, the ruling party, and those organs then were in turmoil about what to do. Were they still functioning? And then there was a lot of back and forth about what the president said or didn't say, or how his words were interpreted by members of the cabinet. And so there was quite a bit of confusion about what that meant. And so I would say that people were kind of bracing for some sort of confrontation. Obviously, we hoped it would not have been an armed confrontation. So there was a lot of militarization in town on the 14th and 15th as they held this Liberation Council meeting. So we had kind of differing accounts depending on, you know, maybe what individuals believe should happen.
Let me just pick your brain on what you were saying, that people were a little bit skeptic and worried. What was your worry?
There had been a lot of talk in the lead up, actually, to the cabinet being sacked. So there was a lot of confusion. And what made people worry is that South Sudan has a lot of ethnic tensions. And while nothing is in a vacuum, these are individuals who also have a history. So the fear was that this could turn into something that turned ethnic. And as we ended up later seeing, of course, unfortunately, that's what happened, where it may not have started that way, but people fall back on something that they know and are comfortable with, and that's their tribe or their ethnic background, their ethnic group.
Leading to the events that happened on the 15th, 16th, there was a close down of the town. The town was literally shut down. And we understand there was orders for American citizens to evacuate from South Sudan. But you decided to stay back. What was the motivation behind that?
I thought that it was really essential that the American embassy remain open. Of course, I don't get to make that decision alone. This went all the way up to our president, to President Obama, of course, the Secretary of State, National Security Advisor. Many, many people were involved in the decision to draw back the number of staff that we had on the ground in South Sudan. And as you rightly mentioned, we did advise American citizens to get out. We put on lots and lots of evacuation flights. We drew down the number of staff to about as minimal as you can imagine, but I felt it was absolutely critical that we maintain a presence, and so I stayed with about five other staff members behind, went to lots of evacuation flights, hoping that people would be back sooner rather than later, and in some cases they were, which is great. We thought that staying open would also send a message to everyone involved that we want peace to be achieved. We don't want the situation to get more out of hand. And I do believe it had an effect.
This was happening when the memories of Benghazi was fresh in the minds of U.S. diplomats. Were you scared that your life was in danger?
I have to admit, I wasn't really scared. I mean, I think that everybody has a different way of reacting when turmoil is happening around. It was important for me to be the chief of mission and make sure that my people were safe. And we had an augmentation with army members that came to help to reinforce the embassy compound as well as the residential compound. But I think probably on the 16th was the most worrisome day, because the blasts were so loud and so close to the embassy, and then watching people as they trekked around the residential compound to the backside of the UN UNMISS compound. But I wasn't scared, just wanted to make sure that all of my staff, both Americans as well as, of course, the South Sudanese, were safe and that they did not leave their homes if they felt unsafe.